Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see now.
What are you doing?
You start preaching.
Well, it's time for us to get started. I guess me and you're going to be again.
You got to mute us?
She will. Come on up and get started. No, I ain't gonna play it. Because we can't hear it no way. Wouldn't know when it stopped or nothing.
True. What's this?
That's all. You're talking through my phone.
Yeah, I know.
Cool Country Church. Roger.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Your Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful gifts and things that you've given each and every one of us. Thank you for all the blessings that you've disposed upon us. Thank you for the gathering we have today. And be with us with you and your Holy Spirit and guide us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. So, my name is Dennis. And first of all, as usual, I'd like to go over a few things that's going on in the world. And for some of y'all who don't understand why I do what I do, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Ezekiel, and it'll explain to you why I like to put forth what's going on in the world. And it's out of Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6. But if a watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at that watchman's hand. So that's basically saying if you see something going on in the world and you don't speak up about it, their blood is on your hand. And that's also kind of what else we're going to be kind of dealing with today. But just matter of fact, it was on the 1st of September, our glorious president gave a speech at Independence Hall. And I posted on Facebook a couple times already, but people really need to go. You can find it all over the place. And if you don't trust, you know, the validity of some of the ones that are out there, all the news agencies have it posted as well, the entire speech. So, like I say, I highly recommend. I know it's hard on the ears, particularly being a Christian. And if you're a conservative, definitely hard on the ears. But go and listen to it because it's an all-out assault on Christians. Just a complete all-out assault. He's using not the name Christian. I mean, he's calling everybody a MAGA, but whenever you look at what he's saying, it's directed at you as a Christian. And that's what people don't understand, you know. You've got all these people wanting to make it partisan or a political issue, but it's really not. This is a downright dirty, demonic, what he was doing. And if you look at the setting that's sitting there, it even looks demonic. He's up there, you know, with two Marines standing behind him in the shadows, giving them some eerie figures, and then also highlighted in red light. I mean, it just looks like the pictures you see of hell. That's literally what it looks like, truly. So go and listen to that, because if you have any Christian values whatsoever, you will take offense to this. I promise you, you will. Not only will you take offense to it, but on the same side, he's calling out an all-out war on us. I mean, it's literally what he's calling for, just an all-out war or an assault on people who disagree with their liberal demonic values. And I call them demonic values because killing a baby in the womb ain't nothing but demonic. Yeah. This transgender garbage, that ain't nothing but demonic. You know, that whole myriad of stuff, pushing on a one-world government ain't nothing but demonic. All the stuff's in the Bible. And that's what they're pushing. So I would definitely highly recommend you reading that. That way you at least can prepare yourself for what's going on. And I'm not joking. I'm not making anything up. That's literally what he said. He's running an all-out war on us. So today is going to be a little bit of a long one, maybe. So I'm going to start off in John 13. We're going to cover a little bit of stuff that Pastor covered last week and the week before. But we're going to bring in a whole different perspective on what he was talking about. And if you read, and we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to hit a couple spots that I think is important. And then we'll get back into some other stuff. We're going to read a couple chapters for sure, or at least bits and pieces of a couple of different chapters. But in John 13, the first one I want to show you, give to you is verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Okay. And then you skip over to chapter 14 and go to verse 21. He that hath my commands and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And that he that loveth me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him, and all, and will manifest myself to him. And then Judas asked him, you know, saith unto him, not Iscariot, the Lord, how is it that we will manifest up, how is it that you will manifest yourself and not unto the world? And Jesus said unto him, if a man loveth me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make his abode with him. If he loveth me not, keepeth my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring forth, and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto him. And it goes on and on, talking about, you know, you need to follow the rules or the commands that I gave, or that Christ gave. And in essence, he's ultimately saying that if you don't keep the commands, you're not going to make heaven your home. Okay? So a lot of people seem to think that he only gave one command, and that was the one I read first. You know, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that is one. But he actually gave, he gave many, but eight of them are very specific. He gave very, very specific commands to each and every one of us, that we follow these commands. And I'm going to briefly tell you what they are, and then we'll go over each and every one of them, because they're right here in the book. And then the last one I think we're going to go over first, and then kind of work our way the other way. So the first one is, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do not be angry with your brother without a cause. Do not look at another woman to lust for her. Do not divorce except for sexual immorality. Don't swear. Don't resist the evil one. Love your enemies. And then the last one, which I think is probably one of the more important ones, is go forth and spread the gospel. So what I want to do now is go to Matthew 25. And you go, Matthew 25, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you're fixing to find out. All right, so when we're going over this stuff, I just want you to understand that this ain't milk for the babes. This is actual meat and potatoes we're talking about. And not only is it meat and potatoes, but we're also going to step on a few toes, my own included. So, but this is very important. We're too close to the end not to be starting to feed people some meat. You know, 2,000 years we've been feeding everybody milk. Now it's time for some meat. And it's the meat that's going to get you into heaven, not the milk. So this is Matthew 25. We're going to start off with verse 35. Okay. This is very important when you listen to this. There's two aspects to this one, what this is talking about. And we're going to go over them both. Most people just cover the one aspect because that's all they see in it, but it's truly two aspects. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, When saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger and took him in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee, and the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done this unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left-hand side, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, and or a stranger naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them and say, Verily I say unto you, that as much as you did not to one of these, the least of these, you did not do unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment by the righteous of the eternal. So the one aspect of it is pretty blatant and obvious. You know, you're supposed to go out there and help the poor, feed the hungry, all that stuff. All right, that's the one aspect of it. And yes, we should do every bit of that. However, the other aspect of it is what we're literally talking about today. And the meat that he's talking about feeding them, and the thirst that they're talking about giving them, you know, for the thirst of the stomach. All these things that he's talking about is going out there and spreading the word. People are thirsty for the word. They're hungry for the word. You know, we're supposed to show them that they're naked and clothe them in the word of righteousness. You know, we're supposed to go out there and do all these things, and nobody's doing that anymore. You know, if you've ever read the Acts of the Apostles, the early church did every one of these things. They did this right down the line. They did every bit of this stuff. And in today's world, all they're wanting to do is go out and actually feed them, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but they're not spreading the word. They're not giving them the meat, the substance that their soul needs. They're not feeding their soul. You know, if you're not feeding the soul along with the belly, then you're not accomplishing a whole heck of a lot. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be concentrating more and more and more on feeding the soul, because I'm telling you, the time is truly running out, and we don't have much more time to do it. And with the things going on in the world, just like I was talking about the Biden thing, we're running out of time, and they're going to be coming forth for us. Okay. So now if we'll turn to Matthew, and we'll try to bring all this to a big crescendo here in just a few minutes. But so now we're going to go through each one of those eight individually, and they're all in Matthew, by the way, Matthew chapter 5. And each one of these are commands that Christ gave each and every one of us that we're supposed to do, that we have to do in order to make heaven our home. And like I say, a lot of people don't push it that way. They don't understand that those actually are commands. You have heard it said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall call his brother raucous shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, is in danger of hellfire. Okay? That's number one. That was the first one that I read off. All right, so that's actually number two. And three here. Ye have heard that it said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh unto a woman to a lustful that looketh unto a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. It is said, whosoever shall put his wife away, put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication or adultery, however you want to say it, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery with her. Ye have heard it say that ye have heard, excuse me, I'm having a hard time reading just because I got new glasses and stuff. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him take thy clothes as well. And I'm not going to lie to you, that one right there is the absolute hardest one for me. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is heaven, for he maketh us sun to rise unto the evil and the good, and ascendeth the rain, and the just unto the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do that? But ye therefore perfect, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So that's all of them right there in a nutshell, okay? We'll go back over them just briefly and then kind of combine all this stuff together. And like I say, these are commands. These are things that Christ told each and every one of us we have to do to make it in heaven. These ain't just good rules that we need to be trying to follow. These are things we have to do. We have to do these things. These are commands. And it said, you know, Christ said himself, if you love me, you will follow my commands. And if you don't love me, you won't. And if you don't love me, you know where you're going. And if you do love me, you will follow them and you know where you're going. And these are hard. You know, people say, you know, if it was impossible to follow the law, which it is, by the way. But we compared what the Ten Commandments said and ultimately what the law says, because the law kind of breaks the Ten Commandments down into 613 different ways. But it if you couldn't follow the law, and this is much, much harder, by the way, much, much harder. And you know, people think that because you're under grace, you just get out of jail free card, and that's not that way. But if you're a true Christian, you're living a hard life. It's really, truly hard. It's hard to sit back and well, you can't sit back, honestly. You gotta be fighting 24/7 just to maintain. You truly do. And the closer you get to God, the more you have to fight, because Satan and his little minions are out there on you all the time, trying to push you back. All right, so you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry, okay, with his brother, and that's hard. That's a hard to do. And we're not talking about, you know, temper swearing. That's not what he's talking about, because that would be utterly impossible to go and not you know, your temper flare up every now and then. That's just human nature. You're going to do that. What he's talking about is whenever you build up hatred, you know, you actually want to get out there and fight this individual and may even get into a fight. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to let the temper flare up, back up, calm down, gain your composure, and then try to talk things out. And that's ultimately what he's trying to tell you to do. You know, everybody knows your temper's going to flare. You can't help that. Temper flare is not what he means when he's talking about anger here. It's true anger whenever it manifests in your gut, in your heart, you know. That's what he's talking about. Not a snap, you know, flare-up, because everybody's going to have them little flare-ups, but you back off from the situation, calm down, and then come back at it with a more Christian perspective, and that's what you're supposed to do. So, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, is in danger of hellfire. Okay? So ultimately what that's trying to tell you to do is to calm down and then go back, try to make amends with whatever it is that was going on that caused the flare-up anyway. Make amends for it. Whether you be wrong or he be wrong or you both be wrong, make amends. Try to, you know, make things right in the best way that you can. But even if you can't, just walk away and leave it alone. Okay? Because there's just some people out there that all they want to do is fuss and fight. They get their jollies off on it. And if you walk into one of those cases, you know, be the bigger man and turn around and walk away. And that's ultimately what that's talking about. You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, this one, and I was talking to a young man about this very thing last night, as a matter of fact. That's a two-way street, and a lot of people don't understand that. That's a two-way street. First of all, most of the time, particularly in this day and age, the girls are walking around leaving nothing for the imagination anyway. And I was explaining to him that you shouldn't be looking at her in that manner. But he goes, I can't help it. I mean, they're advertising. I says, that's true. They are. But instead of looking at her in that way, you should be looking at her in a different, whole different perspective. You should, one, have pity on her because she has absolutely no self-esteem. And two, you should be thinking, you know, that's disgusting. You really shouldn't be doing that out in public. And three, the fact that she is doing that, that she has no self-esteem and no internal fortitude for the most part. If you're not going to say anything to them, then you need to at least turn a blind eye to it. You know, not a blind eye, but turn your eye away from it, you know, and have the proper thoughts that, you know, that you're supposed to have. And it's hard. I know it is, particularly for young men and things of that nature. I know it's hard because they're out there blatantly advertising anymore. And that's wrong. And that's why I say it's a two-sided street, because they're not supposed to be dressed that way either. They're committing a sin by dressing that way. And not only are they causing, you know, that young man to sin, but it also says that women are supposed to be covered up to keep the angels from sinning as well. So, you know, there's a two-way street there. Yeah, he's wrong because he looked at her in a wrong manner, in a lustful manner. But she's definitely wrong for not following a goddess's proper attire, you know. And I don't know. I don't understand the daddies in the world these days, because I'm telling you right now, my daughter would not go out like that. But that's a whole different story altogether. So, like I said, I don't understand the whole, this whole concept of what's going on with the youth today, but it's nasty is what it is. It's just downright nasty. That's about the only thing I can say for it. So I'm going to leave that one alone before I get on a tangent. It had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Okay? So, Christ is saying right up front that there's only one reason for divorce, and that's, you know, some shenanigans going on. And they're talking about the man, but that's a two-way street as well. You know, if the guy was out there doing the wrong thing, then, yeah, the wife has the right to divorce too. Back in the time that this was written, you know, the whole marriage thing, a woman couldn't divorce a man. Only a man could divorce the woman. That's the reason it's written that way. But it is a two-way street, you know. A Christian woman shouldn't have to sit in a household with a man that's out there doing whatever all the time. So that is a two-way street as well. But it only can be done, you can only divorce when infidelity is the cause of it. No other cause is permitted except for infidelity. And you see out there all the time, men and women getting divorced. I mean, the divorce rate is anymore just as high as the marriage rate. And in some cases, even higher. And you go, well, how is that possible? Well, because people's been married for a long time. You know, the people are shacking up now. They're not getting married. So it's real easy for the one number to be a little bit higher than the other at this particular juncture. And then you've got this whole homosexual garbage going on, which I don't want to get into right now either. Ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now this one right here, this one is absolutely the hardest one, I'm going to say, for most people, honestly. I know it's the hardest one for me. It is absolutely the hardest one for me. But with the times that we're coming into, this is also one of the most important ones that we need to be aware of. Because we're fixing to be persecuted. We are. If persecution's coming, then that Biden speech that just happened plainly stated it. And if you know anything about how the apostles died and what they did, you notice none of them fought back. In fact, not only did they not fight back, they were actually rejoicing with the fact that they were arrested. They were rejoicing in the fact that they were fixing to be martyred. You know, and that's the kind of attitude that we need to be picking up. And we can start getting ourselves prepared for this whole thing that's coming up. But when somebody does do us wrong or talks about us, instead of confronting them, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't confront them and let them know that you didn't appreciate it, but you don't go out there and try to fight them. You don't go out there and try to get even with them by doing the same thing or whatever the case is, you know. There's a whole myriad of scenarios that we could be talking about, but you just need to, you know, turn the other cheek, so to speak. You know, bless your enemies, pray for your enemies, all that kind of stuff is what we're getting into here in a minute. So that's the kinds of things that you need to be doing, you know, whenever they put you in jail, because it's coming. It's coming quickly. You know, it's all going to be in the name of conservatism or you know, MAGA or whatever. That's going to be the front that they're going to be using. But in actuality, it's a frontal assault on Christianity, and a lot of people don't realize that. Because if you're a true Christian, you're a conservative. You're not a liberal. That's a fact. That is an unadulterated fact. You can't be a Christian and be a liberal. It's just impossible. Now, that's not to say that every conservative is a Christian, but I can assure you that every Christian is a conservative. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one. And I'll argue with anybody over that. Because you cannot be So, in fact, the Bible tells you you can't. So, you know, use conservative and liberal, but he talks about the devil and God. You can't serve both two masters at the same time, and that's literally what's going on. Right, so, but I say unto you that resist not evil. So we're supposed to take it, and we're supposed to, the apostles and the disciples, they were guides for us. They were mentors. They were our examples. However you want to look at it or call it, that's what they were. We're supposed to try to emulate them in everything they did. I mean, that's what we're supposed to strive for, is to be like the apostles, which ultimately they were trying to strive to be like Christ. And that's the ultimate goal here. And you get, I mean, how many times Paul, he got beat, he got stoned. John, he got beat, he got stoned, he got boiled in oil, you know. But all throughout it all, he kept his faith, never fought back once. And that's what we're supposed to do. When Christ was out there, you know, and if we wanted to try to emulate Christ, whenever he was being persecuted, he never fought back once, never said a cross word to anybody. He took it and went on. And that's what we're supposed to do, you know. And it's hard. It is. It's hard. But that's the part that shows our love. And it's not necessarily love for the people that's doing it, but it's that love that we have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for the Father. And that's what we have to do. And it's hard. I know it's hard. But those are the kinds of things that we have to do, that we have to start working on. I know I have to work on it. There's no doubt in my mind I have to work on it. That we have to get straight before we're going to make heaven our home. You know, and before us, I mean, I started this study a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it kind of strange that whenever I was studying these very chapters, because we did John and Matthew, or the pastor did a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I said, that's kind of odd, because I was reading these things, just what I was studying at the time. And here we are rolling right back around into them. But these are things that are highly important. These are things that we need to be doing. This is the meat that we need to be feeding people to let them know. And this particular meat is the meat we need to be giving to the church, okay? This ain't necessarily the meat that you need to be giving, you know, the Joe Snuffy on the street, because we've been feeding people milk so long that all they think they need to do is believe anymore, and that's not true. It is absolutely not true. We have to follow these rules, these commands of God, these commands of Jesus that we have to follow on a daily basis. And if we can't follow them, then that, you know, we're wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. We need to start working on these things, or else we ourselves are not going to make heaven our home. You know, Christ said himself, you know, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And then they were saying, well, didn't we do this in your name and do that in your name and do this in your name? He's talking to Christians right there. He's talking to people that's sitting in the pews. Some of them sitting right behind, standing behind the pulpit. And these are the things that we need to understand. We need to get more in depth. I mean, we've lost so much over the last 10,000 years, or 2,000 years, I mean, from what the apostles were doing and what we're doing today, is it's almost like night and day. We need to get back to that. And I'm telling you, we ain't got much time. The church is going to end the same way it started, with martyrdom. And that's exactly what's coming on. The church is going, you know, began. It was a hard road to hoe. You know, they had to hide. They had to do everything. And that's the way it's going to be in the end. And that's exactly what's coming. I mean, the writing's on the wall. If you can't see it coming, then you're blind. I mean, it is. Nobody knows how much further it is. Personally, I think it's just within a couple of years. But that's just my thoughts. I don't know that. Things are moving entirely too fast for it not to be sometime in the very near future. And I honestly believe we are the last generation. You know, whether that last generation includes like Pastor Tony at his age or my grandchild at her age, I don't know. But I think the people, at least some of the people that's alive today, is going to see this. And there's no doubt in my mind of that. I feel firm about that. And we need to we need to be moving on, getting deeper into what it says instead of, you know, just sprinkling a little bit of milk out there, you know, to draw people in. It's past time for that. We need to get back to the times of the apostles and really be down dirty and hard with it. And it's sad to say, but that's what we need to do. And you would think after 2,000 years we would be there, but we're still not there yet, and I don't understand that. But you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. And that was exactly what I was saying a while ago. These are the things we need to be preparing ourselves for, you know. Instead of fighting and calling the executioner or the jailer or whatever the case is dirty names and being mean about it, walk up there with a smile and be happy the fact that you're being martyred for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. Because, it's a whole different topic, and I don't want to get into it right now because it will create all kinds of havoc. But if you pay any attention, I mean really pay any attention, particularly whenever you're reading Daniel and you're reading the Revelations, the only people it's ever talking about are martyrs. I don't know if anybody's ever paid any attention to that. It's the martyrs, okay? Those are the ones that's in heaven. The martyrs are in heaven. That's a whole different story. I don't want to get into that. And like I say, that'll stir up some turmoil that I don't want to get into right now. But nonetheless, the point is you're supposed to be happy and joyful that you're dying for Christ, and that you know that as soon as the axe hits, you're going to be with him. And that is a fact, okay? There's no doubt about that. You will be with him at that particular point. And I firmly believe that there's no doubt in my mind that you're not going to feel the pain, so don't even let that bother you, you know? For crying out loud, John was boiled in oil, okay? He was thrown in boiling oil. Came out, not a problem, not... You know, there's no record of him being burnt. No record of it at all. And, you know, this was before he even wrote the book of Revelations and the book of John. This is, you know, that happened before all that. And I would kind of think that he'd be in a little bit of pain if he was boiled in oil and it hurt him. You know, because even years after being burnt, it still causes all kinds of issues. And it didn't. Because he had the faith that God was going to take care of him, and he did, and he brought him out of it. He was stoned. He was beat. None of those things stopped him. Not only did they not stop him, they just ingrained it that much more in his soul that he wanted to be with Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of things that we need to be doing, the kind of thoughts that we need to be having. And with that, I'm going to stop just to understand that we have rules that we have to follow. The rules that we have to follow are a little bit different than the rules of everybody else. We got to, you know, turn the other cheek. We got to be nice to the people that are mean to us, you know. And a lot of times, the being nice to somebody that's being mean to you is actually more punishment to them anyway, because it really just, they don't know what to do with it, for one, and it ticks them off even more, for two. So you're actually getting your revenge anyway just by being nice. And I'll give a good example of it. Back a couple of years ago, it was all over the news. I'm sure everybody's seen it. There was some kid from Cincinnati that was up in Washington, D.C., and they were making a big deal out of it because he was just standing there with a smile on his face. And the kid never said a word, never said a single solitary word. And I'm not saying this kid was right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just using this as an example. The kid never said a word. But the old man that he was standing in front of was getting all kinds of butt hurt over the fact that this kid was just standing there smiling at him. Okay? That's the kind of attitude we need to have. You know, well, I shouldn't say the attitude, but that's the kind of approach that we need to have whenever they start doing these things to us. Just sit back and smile at them. Know that the Holy Spirit's going to take care of you. And if you do have something to say, Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will speak for us. And it says that very plainly. Whenever they put you in front of the brown church to, you know, persecute you, that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, and the Holy Spirit is going to take care of you. All right, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor real quick, and we'll close out. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank Him for the message He gave to you to share with. Pardon me. Got that throat running. Takes a minute to get it cleared up. And I know it don't sound good going out over the internet, but what has to be, has to be. All right. You know, you've got a right nice day out. Not a lot of sunshine out there, but not real, real dark either. And I'm coming into church. Wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot. It's nice out. Let's hope it stays that way the rest of the day. Of course, everybody that knows me knows I don't like cold weather. I like it kind of warm. All right. We're going to close out here. But, you know, we can all be back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time and back into the Word of God. You see, that's what we need. We need His Word. And we need it as He gives it. Not the way we give it. But let Him do the talking through us. And then we get what we need. And because He'll supply all of our needs. He tells us He will. And He'll do it. Because, you see, man's got a habit of telling fibs. But the Lord don't. And He makes promises, and He'll keep those promises. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close Your Word today, we thank You for Your Word, Father. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank You when we can come together to share Your Word and Your love through the grace of Your Word, Father. Now, Father, Your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because they're having very little of peace. Now, Father, more so, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, we pray for it. Because it turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ and from Your Word and has brought so much evil upon its own people. Father, we pray for those that will work with us to help us to bring this land, Father, to repentance so that it can be healed and back upon the foundation in which it was founded. And that being Your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer list, Father, as each name is named, may the Holy Spirit touch them, fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, financial, or physical. Now, Father, Dennis Lee, Gary Coates, myself, James Taylor, Millie and Bobby Johnson, Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, father in that Church of God there at Brandenburg. Pastor Randy's lost everything he had due to flood. May that church there in Brandenburg, Father, may it grow and flourish. To Meade County General Baptist Church, Father, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Now, Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. We pray, Father, that these churches will be lighthouses. They'll not hide their light. It will be brought out into the open where your word can be shared with all around. And Father, not only a lighthouse, but make them places of refuge to where the lost can go and find their help, and that help being the Lord Jesus Christ. My three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, and Pastor Zephron Ira. Father, protect them, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, Jim Emery, Sharon Mombello, and her mother, Sue and David Branson, Valence Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some needs a physical touch. Some needs a spiritual touch. And some needs a financial touch. Whatever the need is, Father, nothing is too big for the Lord Jesus Christ and you. So we ask, Father, and pray that all of their needs be met. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless. Try to get back with us this evening. So have a great day. Bye-bye now.